Porque alguien estaba hablando con usted, solo la dejé quietecita. Ay, me duele el shoulder. Me he pasado limpiando, se me duele el shoulder. Ejercicio, hago ejercicio. Eso yo soy alérgica al ejercicio. Thank you.
You're certainly welcome.
Oh, my goodness, I need my necesito me pone a mí mal. Necesito empezar a hacer ejercicio. La nena me dice, como es un pendejo grande, me dice, mami, la nena me quita que me estoy poniendo vieja, ¿qué pasa? Yo dije a tu abuela. Se pasa, mami. Y como dice, pero ¿por qué me dice? Porque el pelo tuyo se está poniendo blanco. Yo, mami, eso es sabiduría, le digo a Mariana. Eso es wisdom. Ay, no. No, eso está bien, anyway. Eso es sabiduría, como dice la Biblia, anyway. Déjame sacar el teléfono, porque a mí me gusta escribir todo en el teléfono. Es más fácil para mí. Ay, Dios. ¿Cómo está aquí hoy, Jorge?
Is there any couples here tonight that don't want to be this morning?
Let me even see if I can get a few more maybe, because I hate for you to not have one. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to say who doesn't have one. If I need to, I'll go get Jenny to make you some more. Okay. It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight. First off, to represent my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I've known Pastor Gary since the 90s. And I'll never forget where we first met. I used to have a flooring store, and it was called the Carpet Shack in Fruitland Park. I made a vow to God that as I went into business, that I would call it business ministry, that I would use it for him. And not only that, but on our business cards, we got the gospel, we had scripture. My scripture in the store, when God gave me opportunity, I would share with the community, you know, like at Christmas or Thanksgiving, we're thankful for being able to serve the community. But I really wouldn't be your friend if I didn't share with you what's on my heart. And I actually print the gospel out in a newspaper. I used to have prayer meetings, 40, 50 people on their knees, and it was an open place. Those who came for flooring, if they didn't know the Lord, we didn't cram it down their throat, but we just loved them and served them. And when they had questions, we'd be there to minister to them. And the whole staff had the freedom to do that. At that time, I had a young man working there, Pastor Gary and I met. He then was at First Baptist in Fruitland Park. And we met, and instantly there was a fire between the two of us. And he always said, I wish I had the fire you do in witnessing. I said, you do, but you can always have more. But it's just the way I am. I'll never forget in the year 2000, I said, God, why am I going to have the fire that the generation before us had? And I won't get into it tonight, but all I can say is I went back to where my family first met God, and that God, this entire universe targeted me over and over again. And that's when I chose to put the scripture on everything, because people knew me as a good Christian man before, but I thought, no, God, it's not enough. And I'll never forget the first time I thought I should put scripture out. This voice said, "You're going to lose customers." And this other voice said, "But whose business is it anyway?" So Pastor Garrett, I've known each other a long time. I was away for a few. I asked God, "Sell the business if you want to, if I can go into full-time ministry." I prayed for 90 days that way, and an offer came along, and that corner was no longer mine. And I ministered at a church here in town. Started a ministry called the Main Gang. Keep the main thing the main thing. And a brother of mine in Orlando, in a tough area of the town on Paramore, I used to go to his church, and when you walk in his church, it says, "Keep the main thing the main thing." His name's Glendy Hamilton. I knew him when he came to know Christ, and we talk with each other almost every single week, and I pray for him every night before I go to bed. But that man made a vow to God 16 years ago never to go to sleep without leading the soul to Christ, and he's done it.
Wow.
Personally, in the year 2000, I said, "God, help me to share my faith every day." Okay, and I've kept that vow to somebody, or leave a gospel tract somewhere, but deliver my message. I went, finally a calling came, and I won't go into the details, I'm shortening the story, but God called me out to Kentucky to birth a ministry for men and women overcoming addictions back in 2009. And I had the honor to be pastor of evangelism, a church of about 350, 375. And they had never passed out a gospel tract. And from the year 1993, when I came into the Leesburg area, until the year 2009, when I left, I had given up the gospel. Don't do this. What I'm trying to tell you is, ordinary man, ordinary woman, I'm ordinary man. All I do is want to passionately serve my Jesus. I had actually given the gospel out, whether it be written form or whatever, 475,000. Times on one way or another. After going to Kentucky, I lost track because that particular church in the 2 years that I was there changed from 350 to 375 to 750 to 800 in 2 years. It wasn't totally just because of evangelism, but after 2 years, they had passed out 20,000 gospel tracts. And the place was changing. Then, that was 2009 through 2011. I'm just giving you a little bit of scenario. And then I got a phone call 4 years ago in June that phone call that they found my daughter's body in Oxford, Florida. And I came back for the homegrown service and went back, and the ministry was doing well. But I told the senior pastor, "I've got to go take care of my grandkids, and I got to go back to the area. Everything's doing well here," and I asked God where you want me to go. So I came back into the area. God opened a ministry in the market at Marion. I won't go into detail. All I can say is, and then I started back in my old trade. I always say the Apostle Paul was a tent maker, I'm a carpet bagger, but my main mission is to get the gospel out. And whatever you do in life, your main mission, technically, is to get the gospel out. That's why he has us here. But I came to Pastor Gary, and it was on Saturdays and Sundays that I would have my venue in the Market of Mary. And I said, "Pastor," I said, "I will pass out gospel tracts. I'll talk to you about other things next week, like the book Psalm 91, the book on forgiveness, how I was in China last year and a Chinese woman came to know Christ because Grace Tabernacle had given me these books." So Grace Tabernacle, a year ago, year and 1 week ago, touched a heart in China. We'll talk about that over the next 4 Wednesday nights. Okay? But anyway, I told Pastor Guerra, I said, give me invitation cards for Grace Tabernacle, because while I'm in the market of Marion, I said, every time I give one of those out, I'm going to give an invitation to somebody to come here to Grace. And I lost count, maybe 250 times I invited people here in the 2 years and 9 months that I was in the market of Marion. I had the honor and privilege to bring in now 36 guests to Grace Tabernacle. God changed the market of Marion here just a few months ago. My brother came back into town, and years ago I mentored him at the carpet store. And I said, oh, Eddie. And he came to know the Lord. And I said, Eddie, if you could just give it all to God and give your talents to God. Oh, he is just loaded with Jesus through music. And Eddie went away, and he was in Nashville. In fact, that's where God got me back in 1984. I won't go into those details tonight. Sometime I'll share my testimony. Heavily in the drug world, nasty as all get out. I grew up in a godly home, but then one time God set me free. Literally, cold turkey. Okay? So we won't go into that tonight. But all of a sudden, Eddie leaves this area, goes to Nashville, but I get a phone call about 6 months ago. He had been ministering at the Nashville Rescue Mission. Okay, so here he is ministering there, but God's calling he and his precious wife, Sandy, into this area. God sells his home real fast, and he's back in the area. And we sat at a table, and he says, brother, he says, you don't know what you mean to me. You don't pour your life into me. And there we are, both in tears, you know. And he says, I'm so glad God now is. And I kept looking, and I said, you've really been bit by God, haven't you? So we looked at each other, and he says, you know what? He says, wherever God calls us, he said, we'll go minister. He says, I'll do the music, and you do the preaching. I said, all right, let's pray. And we prayed. I went to work the next day, and God changed my schedule so that I'm no longer in the market of Marion, and he gives me the weekends open. And I called Eddie. I said, Eddie, I said, I was driving home, and I said to God, God, the first thing you need to do is change my schedule. That came to my mind. The next day, it was changed. Okay? So pray for us, because as the Holy Spirit wooed him in here, this is Pastor Gary. I'm going to be a pastor. Pastor Gary is my pastor. Okay? And I'm possessed by God to see people come to know Christ and encourage others just to go and run them in. Get them under this man's ministry. It's not this man anointed by God, fully loaded with the Holy Spirit. Oh, my. Blessed to be his accountability partner years ago for years before he was ever out here. I know his heart. His heart is all about Jesus. In just a minute, I'm going to share with you. And over the weeks, for instance, like maybe next week we'll finally get to it, but how did Jesus share his faith? Where I also have a Bible, and I've got 8 verses marked in that Bible. So that, do you know how to share your faith? And many of you do, because one thing I do know here at Grace Tabernacle, there are people that passionately share their faith.
Yes.
But what if everybody started? What if the nucleus just grew? Finally, we would literally have fresh wind and a fresh fire and tongues of fire come down on this place like we never experienced, very few people experienced. So in a little bit, I want to share with you tonight, just in simplicity, gospel track. How effective a gospel track is. And already a few of you have, okay? And finally, everybody's going to have these tonight. And we're just going to get down to the simple basics. Get by the intimidation. If I can get to it tonight, I'm going to talk to you about a lady that came to my class, because I have put out over a period of time. We actually, by the way, in a church here in this area, one day I felt like I didn't want the blood or fruit to bark on my hands. And I went to my pastor at that time, before I knew Gary, and I said, you know, I'm convicted that I need to go door to door. Can I start a class on evangelism? So I've given out every Sunday for a year, over 300 messages on evangelism every Sunday, and we would go door to door. It took us 2.5 years, but we actually knocked on every single door in Fruitland Park and then started going into Leesburg to give the gospel. If they were going to good church, we asked them, when was the last time you were there? They didn't go to a good church, come on! Oh. But anyway, gospel tracts are powerful, so tonight we'll talk about gospel tracts. But my brother, can you just give me one more song? Can you give me one more of Amazing Grace? And then can you give me the song that we talk about?
Sure.
Thank you. Amazing Grace was the song when God set me free in 1984 from drugs and alcohol and very bad situations. I'll never forget. I was out in dark, dark areas. Dark. I'm talking dark. And I heard this voice say, you stupid fool. You think you have power, but you turn your back on the grace of God. I had just walked away from some terrible issues where I got called into a scene where they said, you need to come here because there's a gunshot wound in the head with your wife. And I thought I had it all together. But the ones you love, it was affecting them. And God changed my life during that period of time. And in Nashville, Tennessee, I got on my knees in October and I said, God help me. I said, when I was a kid, I asked you into my heart. And I said, I'm saying this out of respect to you. And this is the way I talk to God. My dad taught me to talk this way, like he's my father. And I said, I respect you because I've trampled your blood in the ground. Forgive me for trampling your blood in the ground. You've been my father since I was 8. I know that, but I've trampled it so bad that I want to say to you out of respect, come into my life afresh and help me to live for you. I actually read the New Testament out loud myself at night in 30 days. But as I would still go to work because I was a functioning, addicted person, I would sing Amazing Grace over and over again. Sometimes I'd lay over the car, spit up blood, but I wouldn't do it in front of people. But all I could do was sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now found. I was blind, but now I see. Go ahead, my brother.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Blind, but now I see.
Lead me to some soul today. Or teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine, friends of yours, lost in sin, they can't find their way. Few there are who seem to care. You know, only 2% of those that name the name of Jesus, that's different here at Grace, but only 2% that name the name of Christ share their faith. That's it. We wonder why this country is what it is today. I always say, all it takes is good men and good women to do nothing for evil to prevail.
Yes.
We're going to make a difference. We're going to make a difference right underneath our feet. God help us to share our faith. Somebody want to pass these out for me? Make sure everybody gets, and you can have more than two apiece, but I want every person in here to at least have two apiece. They're sticking together, pulling apart. When I was in Kentucky, and wherever I've gone, I study tracks. Actually, I have an orphanage and a medical station in Mexico also. Yeah, but we pass out this track and it says, smile, Jesus loves you. And on the inside it says, you ever feel like nobody really cares? And then it talks about a physician who has a cure for an incurable disease. Would you want it? And that's what it talks about. But I will tell you in studying tracts that this is the most contagious tract that I have ever had in my hands. So what I did was, I took the tract, shortened it. You ever feel like nobody really cares? Well, Jesus does, and so do I. Look at the flip side of it, okay? I believe in multiply seed effect, okay? Watch what this is going to do, okay? I asked Pastor Garrett, I said, Pastor Garrett, can I merge the two of these things together? And so I put Grace Tabernacle on the back with the phone number and directions, and also put the gospel. Because I'm going to tell you something, you can have all the eloquent words in the world, but it ain't your words and it ain't my words that's going to get them to Jesus. It's going to be the Holy Spirit. It's going to be the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and never returns void. So what we've got is a threefold situation. One, it's an invitation. Okay? The other thing is you've got the gospel on it. It could be the opening to talk to and beyond that. But the third thing is that phone number, you've got the office number, but that phone number, if they're hurting out there, they can call that 24 hours a day. So, this nucleus right here, what if we all ask God to give us one soul to talk to every week? What if we ask God to give us one new soul to bring to Grace Tabernacle between now and the new year, and then if you get one, go get another. And what if a fire started in this nucleus? Do you think God's going to not answer a prayer like that? Later on, we'll talk about Acts chapter 1, verse 8, if we get to it tonight. Otherwise, we'll get to it next week. And you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, everywhere, everywhere. It wasn't an option. It was a command. And I've often said, now I'm talking to myself more than anybody, because this way the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He says, well, if you're not doing it, it's a command. What are you living in? Sin. So that hurts. That hurts my feet. Hurts my toes. But I'll never forget, God was so good to me in saving me, and I was blind, and now I can see that when God saved me, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I was blind. And now I see. So this week, okay, gives you an opportunity. In fact, let's do something. Everybody sit in the back. I want everybody to sit, I need everybody to sit close together. You can even come up and come on, everybody from the back. But let's fill these spots. Let's tighten up, okay? Come up right in this area, okay? Let's fill these rows, okay? If you want to, and if you don't want to, love you just as much, okay? I'm not trying to, please don't get mad and walk out. but in a little bit, we're going to share with each other, okay? But first off, I want to give you a gospel tract. Let me tell you, and then we're going to see a few pictures of what happens. But first off, I want to tell you, I got a buddy in Orlando. His name was Tony Colico, and he was called the Bugman. And he drove around in a Volkswagen and had a little tail hanging out, had wings on it. It was called the Bugman. Okay, his wife received a gospel tract, threw it in the trash. Okay? Tony comes home that night to take the trash out. The tract falls out. Tony comes to know Jesus through a tract that was in the trash. Okay? He's a personal friend. Tony then goes on a missions trip to Romania, okay, within the year with a church. Okay? So they go out and they're ministering to the people, building up a building, and sowing a little bit of seed. But then there were these people that were around the outer perimeter, and Tony said, hey, let's go talk to them. And the missions trip they were on, several of the leaders said, no, don't do that, they're gypsies. And he said, well, they need the gospel too. Do you know that Tony went back on his own, and this was 4 years ago, because I haven't talked with him since then, okay? He's got 10 gypsy churches in Romania. Amen. Over a crumpled up gospel tract in a garbage can. Okay? So don't tell me it doesn't get through. I know of another true story where there was a man diving, and it could have been me years ago, because, boy, God was really trying to speak to me years ago when I used to dive. But this guy was diving, and he went down, and he went down. There was something stuck in an oyster's mouth. And guess what it was? A gospel tract. And he said, if God would go to these depths to get a hold of me, he came to know the Lord. All right? Moody Bible Institute, and I don't think I'm wrong on this. I know that this is true. Okay, whether he's still a president or not, I don't know. But Moody was a man in the 1800s who won more souls to Christ than anybody. He's a favorite character of Pastor Gary's and mine. I study his life. The president, whether it's the former one or not, that's the thing I want to say, but definitely if it's not the former one, it's the one before it. He was going to the University of Oklahoma and found a gospel tract in the hallway of a dormitory of a secular school. Read it, came to know Christ, turned him 180 degrees from going into architect into following Jesus. So it gets through. I walked into a restaurant, and this is before I had these, and I had these, okay? And do this. You can take these, go into the restaurant, and whoever's waiting on you, don't wait till the end to give them the good news. Give them the good news when they're just starting to communicate with you. You do not know how many times I have had people come back to my table and I minister to them. And they'll start weeping. I actually had a man one time and he fell under so much conviction because he must have read or something, but he saw something going on. He came back to my table weeping. He says, Mister, would you pray with me? And he told me his story. I said, well, where do you go to church? He says, Grace Tabernacle. I said, well, what's the last time you were there? See what I mean? So, I mean, you don't know who you're going to run into. There was this restaurant that I went into, and the lady waitress, I walked up to her, and I said, can I give you a smile to match your smile? And when I did that, she burst out crying and said this, I need Jesus, and I need Jesus now, right in front of everybody in the restaurant. Now, it doesn't happen that way every time, but very few times will you ever give a smile to somebody, and they frown at you. Can I give you a smile at your smile? You know what they'll say? Thank you very much, or wow, I needed that.
but you don't know where you're going to go from there. One time, I was at a venue, and you'll see my son on, he's up in New York, his grandpa passed away. But this young man really doesn't have a father figure. And when he came to town, I won't tell you his past, because I don't really care what a person's past is. But you'll see him usually sit with me, or you'll see him go to the altar, and he calls me Pops. And he was converted. One day he'll tell you from what, when he shares his own testimony, he said, I don't want to spoil it. But that young man, okay, loves me, and I've never seen his beautiful crown. But I've never seen anybody so hungry to be filled with God. Probably the other last time I've ever seen that is my brother Glendy Hamilton at Harvest Baptist Church on Paramore. And I've always prayed that God would raise up another Glendy Hamilton. When he shares his faith, he's now up delivering a message. In fact, I'll tell you what, he was converted from the Islamic faith. They were trying to convert him in prison. And our government knows it, and media knows it, and they are in there, and they are alive and well, because these men have had no hope, and so therefore they know maybe they've been violent, and go back into the streets and do this. But God set him free because he had an aunt who kept sending him, son, you need to give your life to Jesus, and he threw it away. But then one day God got a hold of him. And I just happened to run into him at a workout place here in town. And he ain't too tiny either. You ever see him come to the altar with me? And I don't care what size you are. I'm going to find out who you are, and I'm going to try to minister to you. And he calls me Pops. Pray for him. Because he's been called out too to speak to the youth in New York. Christianity versus the Islamic faith. He knows it inside out. He knows that the Quran, and he quotes you the scripture out of the Quran that says that Allah believed that there was no reason and was abominable that God would have to have a son come to this earth for the sacrifices to get to heaven. That's what it teaches, but those people don't know that. But anyway, I was going with my son up to Ocala for a specific venue because he thought he needed to go that way in his walk. While at this venue, the place is packed. And this one lady sits beside me with this little child, okay, little girl. And I gave the little girl because, oh, try this, by the way. Go into a place like Walmart. And let's say this lady's pushing her buggy and she's got two or three kids with her, and they're wham, 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 wham. Walk up to him and say, ma'am, is it okay if I give him a smile? And all of a sudden, wham, wham, wham. Just like that. Watch what happens. And mothers love it. But anyway, I'm at this venue for Ronnie Blue, okay? My son. And I give this track to the little girl that's wah, wah, wah. And the mother goes, I thought it was a mother, it must be a grandmother. She says, thank you so much. But she ended up taking it, looking at it. Now watch this. 2 weeks later, this is how God works. 2 weeks later, I'm on an appointment up in the Ocala area. As I'm going to the appointment, I see this little thrift shop and it has a little planter out front. And I need a planter for my plants. Oh, on the way back, I guess I'll pull in there. I just need a bigger one. I'll see if she's got a bigger one. So I go in there. She doesn't have a bigger one. I don't remember her face, okay? But as I'm getting ready to leave, I look at her and I say, can I give you a smile to match your smile? And all of a sudden, she just burst out crying. I thought, now what did I do wrong? And she looked at me. She says, you're the man. She says, you're the man that 2 weeks ago, remember when you were at that venue? She said, I was sitting beside you. And she said, this must be God. I said, it is. I said, because steps of righteous men and women are ordered by the Lord. We have a message to deliver. I didn't know I would have a second encounter with her, but God did. And she says, you know, I've been out of church. And she said, would you pray with me? I need to start going back to church. She lives in the Ocala area. But that's how God works. That's through a gospel track. Just be faithful. Okay, some of you tonight are going to say, I can't do this. Whether you're going shopping or wherever you go, you can just simply, can I give you a song? No, it's your song. Just try it. When I had a class that lasted for, I'm trying to remember how many years, but anyway, calculate over 300 messages on delivering your faith. I had this one girl come in the class, and her name was Leona. And she said, I want to learn to share my faith, but she just couldn't talk right. And she was just really intimidated. I said, come on. I'll never forget, she came into class one day and actually came into church, and the whole church stopped. Because the pastor was so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God or what had happened. She had her Bible with the tabs, which will be in your notes. Bring your notes back next week, okay? All right? And it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And she was in a laundromat, and this girl was really hurt. She says, ma'am, I don't know how to do this too well. She said, but can I share with you? She said, I got peace in my heart. And she said, I get it through Jesus. And if I can share with you these scriptures, you can have peace too. And so therefore, and I always get people, by the way, when you bring them to a point, let them read the word. Let them read the word. Because the word will get through. Okay? And she led this young lady to Christ. The lady ended up going back to Jacksonville, where her dad lived, but she got a letter and she read it that day in church. And the dad had been praying that God would send somebody to her to get her daughter back.
Amen. Wow.
And so that Sunday, Leona shares the letter, and then a deacon in the church stands up and says, I've got to confess in tears. He said, I'm not sharing my faith. But Leona convicted me today because we grew up in the Leesburg area, went to high school, and we all used to laugh at her.
Wow.
And that man's life changed, that church changed. Leona, who just didn't know how to do it. Oh, can do it through anybody. So don't be intimidated, because all you'll do is get people to smile back at you. Do we still have Matt up there, or did he disappear? Matt, hey, Matt, I'll see you up there. God bless you. It's all that hell. Matt, do me a favor and show me some pictures. Let's see what time it is, because I don't want to hold you all past. Okay, we're still good. Oh, just got a text from my son up in New York. I was just looking at the time, because I don't want to be rude to y'all and hold you up. Because literally, if you want to keep me here all night, I can't. Okay, I want you to know something, too. That when you talk with people about their faith, you don't have the answer to it. That number, call me. Call me. Okay? Because if I don't have the answer, God will give me the answer. I know that. And many of you already know that in here. Those that do share your faith, let's get a fire in our souls that even goes higher. Those that are just starting to get it, come on with us. Because next week, okay, after you pass out these tracks, okay, guess what? Come on back in here. Because I'm going to share with you a few more things, and I'm going to go zip. I'm going to say, anybody want to share with me what happened when you gave a smile to somebody? And it's contagious. Can you imagine if we pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, which is going to be the first verse that I'll be talking to you about if we get to it, but I don't want to hold you up too late, and turn from our wicked way of not witnessing, we would hear from God. We would hear from God, and it would heal the land right underneath our feet. And if it hits us, and we start doing that as a body, and then all of a sudden it starts to affect the body on the Lord's Day, what would happen?
Amen.
Oh my God. We have Acts
1-8. We'd have a wind rush through this room.
Amen.
That would wipe us right off our feet. And we'd have tongues of fire come down on us. How do you know? Because I have them around me. And so do many of you. But we can go for more. And forgiving, because I'm sorry when I get excited like that. I hope I don't scare anybody or talk too loud. Because I technically, when I get that way, that's nothing compared to what's inside of me.
Amen.
It's serving Jesus. Go ahead. Let's go to Walmart. There's a stop for a second. Anybody know her?
Yeah.
She is so sweet. Miss Penny. Mighty woman of God. We have had a friendship for years. I hunt her down and she hunts me down, and I get a hug and kiss from her every time I see her. Pray for her because she is starting a ministry, a pastor out in, I think, in the Claremont area is where she told me. Go ahead. Next one. This young lady, I gave her a smile to match her smile. And she looked at me because she had a sign that the cash register was open. I said, can I give you a smile to match your smile? And she looked at me, she said, mister, she said, my best friend is going in for surgery tomorrow. Would you pray with me? Oh, see, that got by the smile. It got by, that's the opening move. Next. Anybody know her? Nicole? There you go. Yeah, watch this now. I've known Nicole for years, all right? But when I told Nicole, I said, I actually have a video of her. I'll play, maybe play that video sometime. I can only get so much into the time we've got, okay? But Nicole and I have built a friendship over the years. At times she's needed prayer. But you know what? Watch this. Here I am trying to get pictures for you, current, okay? Which I can do every week of my life. And Nicole looks at me after I gave that, and she said, what time are your services? See, well, here I am, meet somebody that I've known for years, and finally, look what happened. I got past it. You see what I mean? So pray for Nicole, because she's going to be coming soon. God just hit me with this one. How many of you go to Walmart in Leesburg? Raise your hand. Will you hunt down Nicole and give her a smile for it? Whoa! Yes! Think what will happen when that happens, okay? This is the one list, okay? But Nicole's searching for a church, home church. She's the wounded. You know, that's what Jesus wants. He wants the wounded. You can't look at a person's past. You can't look at their wounds. You got to look beyond those wounds. You got to look at them like Jesus does. Go ahead, next one. This lady has Happy Face Daycare Center, okay? She just happened to walk out of Walgreens when I was talking to somebody else about Jesus. This man came walking in, and we talked, and I gave him a track. She said, well, I want one of those, too. Go ahead. Hey, where can you leave them?
Oh, there you go.
Come on, now. You ever got off the gas pump to see that? Now it's no longer me, it's you, okay? Listen. In Kentucky, it got out, okay? I mean, 20,000 in Somerset, Kentucky. I mean, it was everywhere, everywhere. People knew that place. Go ahead.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
What in the world are you doing, Phil?
That's good. I like that.
All right. Undercover now. Listen, do me a favor, all right? If you're going to stick one in the Bud Light, this one doesn't have the name Grace Tabernacle on it, because I don't want to get us in trouble.
Oh, there you go.
You follow me? Okay? Now, if anything, I've got some with just my phone number on. I don't mind taking the heat. Okay? But this one right here is blank. But who knows? Maybe somebody from Grace Tabernacle all of a sudden says, you know what? I'm not going to listen to what Pastor Gary did this past week. I'm just going to give up. Someone go get me a 24-pack. I'm going to go home and I'm going to suck it down. And all of a sudden they open up the case walls and bam. Oh my God. You know something else? Is this, okay? I actually see it. It's the fact that I have a leaky seed basket. I mean, food, you know? And so everywhere you go, everywhere you go. Because when you reach the other side, I've already told you about an oyster that had it in his mouth. I've told you about a guy that got out of the garbage can. So I know that there's a percentage that gets through because the word of God is quick and powerful.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Don't be afraid to give him out. He's not here tonight. Clinton. He's supposed to, I'm going to put him on the spot. He says, you want me to order 5,000 of those or 10,000 of those? I said, well, 5,000 will hold us for a few weeks. Oh, anyway, my wife. Oh, you know what another good place is? Now, this one you can put our name on if you want.
This is where the blood pressure machine.
Oh,
oh. The blood pressure machine. I need Jesus now. Go ahead and put Grace Tabernacle on that one, okay? Use the ones you got. Okay. You gotta hear this one. That man only stood about that tall. And I thought to myself, this is in Jerusalem. And I thought to myself, I wonder if he's one of Zacchaeus' descendants. I thought, I've got to give him a smile. And I did. Go ahead. Give them to little children. My grandchildren, I teach them. And my grandchildren go before me and give it out. Teach them while they're young. Go ahead. Here's a couple other priests I have. How many more is going to turn that face down? If you're too intimidated, you got grandkids, get your grandkids out there. Guess what that man's name was? He was on US 1 in New Smyrna Beach. And maybe next week you'll get to see some things because I talk with you play golf, right? Okay. I told her, I said, hey, God don't mind if you didn't play golf. Alright? He doesn't mind if I fish. He doesn't mind if I was a woman that I was going shopping. Whatever you like to do, sow seed. Because on the side of my boat it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men and fish.
Amen.
I've got a captive audience when I get him on the boat. This man was on US 1 in New Smyrna. I shrimp and fish. Right, Evan?
Yes.
And I was zipping to my fishing hole. I thought, wait a second. Go speak to that man. He's got two bikes with his train loads of all of his belongings. He's walking along US 1 in the heat of the day. I pulled in, got a tall glass of water. And I went up to him and I said, can I give you a cool water in Jesus' name? He says, thank you, mister. He said, I really appreciate it. I said, what's your name? He says, Philip. I said, what's my name too? Okay? And we had this most awesome conversation for the next half hour. I can forget about the fish. God brings me plenty of fish, okay? All the time, people say, man, you're crazy how many fish you catch. I said, look, I take time out, and I know God brings me also because I love to eat fish too. And so therefore, I know that when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God's going to bring me fish. What a precious man. I said, what are your needs? He says, I'm fine. He said, I'm a veteran. I'm working my way up the coast. I said, can I get you dinner? He said, no. He says, I'm good. He says, I've got money and everything. He said, I'm just working more on the coast. So we just had a great time for a half hour sharing. And then I asked him, key question, folks. You can't walk right up to everybody and say this immediately, okay? I have at this altar over certain situations already. But I'll look a person in the eye and I'll say, when you know God says you're supposed to speak it, okay? And I would look him right in the eye and I'd say, you know, I'm not your friend if I don't say this, but I am your friend. If you die today, are you 100% sure you'll go away? You'll know when you say it. And if they look at you and they say, no, no, then you say, of course.
according to the authority of God's word. Can you give me about 10 minutes? Then you have your Bible already marked, like I told you. And I'll give you those verses. They're actually on your back sheet, okay? And let them read the verses. And then it may be time. Okay? But he said he didn't know it. There was no shadow of doubt. But I have to stop. Okay? And maybe it's not too good. Who cares? I've even had my granddaughter one time, man, was similar situation. I said, "Grandbaby, give that man a track." And then asked him if he needs something to drink. Oh, she says, "This is so cool." And she goes into Walgreens and gets the drink the guy wants and comes back out. Says, "Here, mister." You know? You sow it in your children. Sow it in your grandchildren. Let them do it if you're intimidated. Watch the joy. Go ahead. This fella, I'm sitting on a street corner, and this young man comes up, and we start talking. 30 minutes later, he comes to know Christ. There he is, holding on to the book of John. Go ahead. Matt, after this one, I want you to stop, okay? Thank you. I know there's more on it, but we're going to save it for next week. There was this couple that came to the ministry in Kentucky. Husband and wife, crying. And literally, the ministry also is for men and women overcoming addictions. And the Holy Spirit said, I actually built the buildings, had everything running. I was in charge of all those operations along with evangelism at the church. We have young ladies come to our door with a Walmart sack with their clothes on and pajamas. You know, different ones coming up to our door. I've got one, I'll probably show you a picture somewhere in the future. I may even get her to fly here. Shallow grave dug for her. Tied up. She gets untied, breaks away. They were getting ready to kill her. And she comes to the ministry. She stays in the ministry for whatever period of time she needs to. She now heads up an eye doctor's in Somerset, Kentucky, and she also goes into the prisons and ministers for women. Now she is set free. Another one, blood coming out of her nose, ears, mouth, meth lab. They gave her rat poison to kill her. There were bullet holes inside her mouth. The dad came and says, "Will you help me? She's been to two places and there's no hope." I said, "Look in my eyes." I said, "As long as you can see these eyes, there's hope. Because if you set me free, you can set her free." I said, "Let's pray." After they had shared with her the issues. Her name is Miss Rose. I didn't even have the building built yet. I actually brought her down here to First Baptist Church in Leesburg at the Women's Center first. Because I have connections in different places that people can go to. But anyway, I prayed with the parents. Okay? And then I said, "Will you do me a favor? I said, will you take this to your daughter and tell her to read it?" And I said, "My phone number is in there. Have her call me." They said, "She won't like that. We can't do that." I said, "Didn't I just pray?" I said, "Will you just do what God's telling me you need to go do?" And I said it in a nice way. I said, "Because God answers my prayer." They took it home to her. And at the kitchen table, she was sitting, somewhat stoned out of her head. And when they gave it to her, she burst out crying. She says, and they said, "Will you give this man his numbers on there? Give him a call." She says, "Yes, I will." She says, "What you don't know is," she said, "I was stoned out of my head several weeks ago in some restaurant. I didn't even know what the restaurant was. And somebody walked up to me and said, I want you to have this. And there's a number in there. And his name is Phil, and you call that man."
So this was the second time. You follow me? Now I can share with you case after case after case. Watch this. Do you have relatives hurting out there that are wounded by the drug world, destroyed? Sometime I can share with you what that's all about. Okay, I know. But let me tell you something. If you're about your Father's business and you're out there sowing the seed of the gospel, you are answering the prayer of some relative who's praying that God send somebody to them. And guess what will happen? If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you might send somebody to your relative, because usually the closest relatives can't get through.
Seven 40. So I'm gonna stop now. Can you give me 5 minutes? Okay. If you remember the little man in Jerusalem, okay? The little guy. Awesome experience to be baptized in the Jordan River. Now we say, don't drink the water because it's contaminated. Who cares? Jesus got baptized in it and I'm drinking it. That's how crazy I am. I used to be crazy for Satan, okay? But now I'm crazy for Jesus. Anyway, I come back, I don't have my son. Yeah, I do. Where's my back? Oh, my backpack's on my back. It's like losing your phone and you got it in your hand. Anyway, here I am coming back from the Jordan border. And, man, I'm baptized. You know, this is the good. You know, I sow seed wherever I go. I leave it in very intricate spots, even in a full Islamic country. Okay? That's okay. So here I come to the security. Got my sunglasses on. Got this t-shirt on. Okay, that's tense. On the back it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I love to be a walking billboard for Jesus, too. By the way, when I get on airplanes, guess what shirt I love to wear?
Yes.
And I'm walking down the aisle. Yeah. I actually had a man in a workout room one time pass out, and he was a big guy. And everybody goes, oh my God, what's wrong with him? Okay? And I just went over there and I laid over top of him and I said, can you hear me? I said, somebody called 911. I said, can you hear me? He says, yes, but I can't see. So on the back of my shirt is a point in a man wants to die after this is a judgment. So everybody's around me while I'm ministering to this guy. Well, and he says, I can't see. He says, you know, give me a doctor. I said, they're coming. I said, well, let me pray over you. He says, I can't see. And I said, Lord Jesus. So I can't remember the words that come out of my lips. But all of a sudden, he says, thank you, mister, thank you. And he says, oh my God, my eyesight's coming back. Because I prayed to God give his eyesight back, but then he speak to him. Okay, right there. So later on, a few days later, after wearing this t-shirt, I got to tell you a little story about that t-shirt. Anyway, I called the house. And this lady answers, and it's the mother of the man that keeled over at the workout room, okay? And she says, well, who is this? I said, I'm the guy that prayed over your son at the workout room. She says, oh my God, let me get him. So I talked to him over the phone. He said he knew the Lord, but he had wandered. You see what I mean? He don't even remember, okay, half of what went on. But God gave me that opportunity, and I'm wondering, after that whole gym changed. People would come up and greet me, thank you, Mr. Maybe talking to me about God. So be a walking billboard. You don't have to be obnoxious. You see, to me, be a walking billboard. Anyway, I'm coming up to the Jordan border. Okay, I got to tell you this one because I love shirts. Be a walking billboard for Jesus, too. Okay? Anyway, I'm walking up the border, and I'm first, and there's probably 25 people with us. And all of a sudden, the head of security goes, you, come here. So I go into the back room with him. He says, why do you see your back? So I pull my bag off, you know? And he's looking at Last Chance. And he says, let me look in there. He looks around it. He says, where are you from? I said, I'm from Kentucky. He says, what are you doing over here? I said, well, I'm visiting the holy sites. I said, can I give you a smile to match your smile? Of course, he wasn't smiling. And he looks at the track, and he goes, smile. Jesus loves you. Do you ever feel like nobody really cares? He started looking at the rest of it, and then he looked at me and he goes, are you a Christian? He said, yes, sir, I am. He says, welcome to Jordan. Then all of a sudden, the rest of the group starts to come through, and he goes, are they with you? And I said, yes, sir. He says, just tell them to come through. See? You don't know. You don't know. Then I get to the Israeli border. Okay? Backpack on.
The rest of the group goes through. Okay?
Then I'm last. And all of a sudden, this lady, who's head of security, says, I need you to stay here. We want to inspect your bag. We detect gunpowder. I said, well, I said, back in the States, I do have my license to pack. And I said, so I do practice with firearms. I said, so feel free to do what you need to do. And she started looking through and I said, by the way, can I give you a smile to match your smile? And she looks at it. It took a while. She says, mister, do you have more of these? She said, I wanted to give a copy to each one that's with me in security. So folks, don't be intimidated. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. Oh God, if we can only see the time is short. When you get to heaven, guess what? You know, I love Amazing Grace. But then there's a day coming. And you can see it's coming out. It's like a fast freight train. I also believe that as we witness, God could defer judgment somewhat on those that do. But if not, I at least pray for the children and the women. Let's stand up. I want you to do something. Remember I told you all to come together? I want you to look at the other person. Everyone has one on them, right? Everyone has a track. Raise a track. Anybody doesn't have one? Oh, actually, I just want you to have a little card because that is the smile. That's taking the... Now, you can have the others, but these, I've printed already 1,000 of these, okay? So I want everybody to at least take 2 out with you. If you want more, come on, okay? Later on, we'll be getting all of these together for you. So that if there's a specific, like I'll tell you about Psalm 91 next week, and I'll tell you how I used it, and when you hear it, you'll go, no way, yes way, okay? But everybody hold it up. I want everybody to have 2. All right, what I want you to do is look at your neighbor and say, can I give you a smile? And I just smile. But then they got to stand to you. So now they're going to give it back. Okay? Now, if you want more, come and see me, because I've got 1,000 with me. Okay? We want to get Clint on the ball here. Right. Yes. You can. Yes, you can, because I know what you do. I know you will. Watch this. 2 prayers. Lead me to
some soul today.
Amen.
Teach me, Lord, just what to say.
Yes, Lord.
They're lost in sin. They can't find a way. Aren't you glad that somebody shared with you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that 16 out of 16 times Jesus was one-on-one in the New Testament? Now listen to this part. 34 out of 40 times that Jesus healed somebody, somebody, a friend, brought the person to Jesus. 34 out of 40 examples in the scripture. I know he's not here tonight. He called me up. He said, I'm so sorry. I wanted to be here tonight, Phil. She says, you don't know how much I want to be there, but oh, I'm just tormented. I need to be with my grandkids. My daughter's birthday is tomorrow. I said, I called my brother, but I called my pastor too, okay? Because he is my pastor, okay? And I said, it's fine, because this body right here would want you to be enjoying that. He needs those times. He needs that encouragement. What if, when you should hear this next week, and I'll ask, how many of you share the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody and everybody loves this? Do you not think that would do something to your pastor's heart? Now that, I don't want them to hear that, okay? I just want them to do it, okay? Lord Jesus, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. I'll never forget one time in a class like this where I was going to share the 8 verses and would lead a person to Jesus Christ. And I had a mock situation where I had a person up there and I began to share with them. And all of a sudden, right in the middle of that class, this young lady said, Jason is here tonight and he needs Jesus. So while I'm teaching, I no longer showed it as an example of what could happen. The whole class, God blew them away because it happened right in front of them.
Thank you.
So I ask this question with every head bowed. Oh God, give me the fire to witness. Mm-hmm. Give each one of us the fire to witness. Give us the fire to witness, Holy Spirit. And God, bring me a soul this week. Bring me a soul this week. Bring me a soul that I can bring to grace between now and the end of the new year. And when I get one, I'm going to go get another. Oh God, every one of us, pray that and ask God to do that through us. And guess what happens? It'll be so contagious. So God, answer those prayers. Answer those cries. And then in turn, you will send somebody to affect our relatives. But then I ask this question with head bowed. Is there somebody here tonight who is not 100% sure if you die right now? You can't even guarantee me your heart will beat one more time. You can't. Is there somebody here tonight that says, I am not 100% sure that if I die tonight, I am going to heaven? If there's anybody here tonight that is not sure and you want to know for sure, raise your hand. Heavenly Father, I never want to take it for granted when you give me the honor to be used by you to deliver your message. So therefore, God, help me never to take it for granted that people know Jesus. But we thank you, God, for this awesome, awesome, awesome body of Christ. Help us to go out now and share the good news. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Give me your name.